medium, and it's weird, boy. I'll tell you, when I did that, I said, man, I clicked in there. I said, oh, boy, this is great. And, of course, Rick Warner, the evangelist down there in Springfield, and Donita, friends of mine that were from Lima, Ohio, in the church I used to preach at in Lima, and we've just been tremendous friends over the year. And, in fact, they're my best friends in my life, and they have been by us the whole time and encouragement to us, and we appreciate them. So they came all the way from Springfield to spend the weekend with us. They'll be here again tomorrow, and so we're excited about having them with them. And he's coming to visit me in May, which we aggravate them women to death, and that's what's fun. Yeah, we do. We aggravate our wives, and we'll repent later, but... Okay. We're going to go in two different scriptures. I want you to look in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. I want you to get that ready. But then I want you to go to Matthew 28, and that's where we're going to start. We're going to start in Matthew 28. We're going to get in 2 Kings 7, and we're not going to get out of 2 Kings 7 the rest of the night. But I want a beginning point in Matthew 28. And I want you to get there and follow along with me. I'm reading out of the King James Version. I know you all don't have that, but that's the way it is. I just like that, and been there. Not that just because Paul carried it, we know that, and that's a fact. But Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. We're going to read to verse 20 and through verse 20. We're going to pray, and then we're going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I pray that you all get excited for Jesus, because if you're not excited for Jesus, there's something the matter with your life. You need to get your act together. You need to get on the front line. You need to be firing the missiles against Satan. We need to take him down. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We have the power of God. God created all things everywhere. Everything you have, everything you own, everything you do, our God is in control. And we can beat the devil. We can go anywhere, do anything. We can make it if we have Jesus as number one in our lives. And you need to realize that, and the Church of Christ needs to understand that, that we're not weak, that we're not bent over, that we're not done, that we're not finished, that we're more than victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can win the victory over sin and of death through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you don't understand that, you need to get your life together, because we're in a mighty army. We're not, our backs aren't bent, and we're not crying around, and we can't do anything. We can never make it. Listen, folks, we have all of God behind us, and you need to understand that, and we can be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we can all say, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need a congregation. We need a church, your church, to understand we are in a constant battle with Satan, to understand that we're in a war, and we can't win a war with a bunch of deserters. We can't win a war with those that are slackers. Father, we need battle-ready soldiers, those who don the full armor of God, ready to fight the fight, ready to stand in battle line, ready to do the things that you would have us to do. And Father, tonight I pray for those that are outside the body of Christ, if there's anybody here tonight. Oh, Father, they absolutely don't have a clue what they're missing. Father, I pray tonight that you'll touch their mind and their heart, that they may obey the gospel of your dear Son, who died on that cross of Calvary, that we might be truly set free, that we might march to victory, that we may be your people. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This message is preached as far as Matthew 28. It's preached like crazy, man. Go into all... Preachers like to do that. You know that? They like to do that. They like to go into all... Oh, they stretch that out. All the world. world. You know what the problem is? Nobody's gone. That's the problem. We like to talk about gone. Let's have a committee about gone. How about we have a committee about committee about gone? We talk about gone, and most preachers get up there and they pound the pulpit and go into all the world and preach the gospel, and they don't even go. I think there are two reasons why we don't go. Number one, we don't believe there's one plan of salvation. We really don't believe it, because if we did, we'd be going out telling others about it. We really don't believe you have to be immersed to be saved. We kind of believe that somehow God's just going to let everybody slide in. Well, that's our attitude. Well, somehow God's just going to let somebody creep in, back in, get in some way. We're just going to let him in. And the second reason is we don't really believe there's a hell. Well, I believe there's a hell, preacher. Well, I don't believe so. If you believe there was a hell, you'd be here. Amen. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to have the intestinal fortitude to stand behind pulpits, behind wherever we're at, on the street corner, as we knock on the house doors, as we talk to people in Bible study, standing for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need people to stand for the truth. And I think probably one of the greatest soul-winning messages in the Bible is in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. And that's where I want you to go right now. You got to realize what's happening here. Israel's been going on a downward slant, man. They've been messing up by the numbers. They've been messing up like Hogan's goat. That's what my dad always did. You're messing up like Hogan's goat. I said, who's Hogan's goat? Never mind, you're messing up like him. And that's what Israel was doing. They was messing up. God sent a famine in the land. And I mean, there was a famine in there. And he sent the Syrians in there. And the Syrians had them surrounded. But it was time. It was time for God to call his prophet Elisha to come and tell them, hey, everything's going to be cool. God's coming. He's coming with the troops. You're surrounded. You've got no hope. You've got no way to go victory. You've got nothing. But there's somebody there that's got more power than you've got. Elijah said in verse 1, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, he said, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat of thereof. Here the man of God said, it's going to happen. It's going to be hell. Sell for a shekel. They're starving to death. I mean, everybody's after any food there is. And the prophet of God says, hey, this is the way it is. He said, well, he's doubting it. He said, you'll see it, but you're not going to eat of it. That's like when you tell somebody the terms of pardon. Well, yeah, if that's the way it was, that'd be all right. Well, guess what? You're going to see it, but you ain't going to eat of it unless you partake. Now, look what happens. Verse 3, there were 4 lepers men that stayed near the gate, and they said to one another, why sit here until we die? They said, if we say we will enter into the city, there is a famine, and we shall die there. We sit here, we're going to die. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. They're outside the gate. 4 lepers out there said, what are we going to do? Go in, we're going to die. Stay here, we're going to die. We'll go to Syrians. If we die there, we ain't got nothing to lose. Man, what a pitiful thing. That's the state of our world today, isn't it? Same thing. How many of you guys like theme parks? You like them? I hate them. I hate them with a passion. I don't want to go to any. I don't want to go to Disneyland. I don't want to go to Kings Island or whatever. Well, that's where we went. We had 5 kids. And Chris could hardly breathe. Little one, see? And it was a typical Kings Island day in Ohio, see? 100 degrees and 100% humidity. And everybody from Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio heard we was there and couldn't wait to be there with us. I'm sweating like a dog. Chris was just little. I mean, he could hardly walk. And I figured when we went in there to pay the money, they'd let Chris go in. But if you're breathing, you're going to pay the money. They put the beer up to his face, and he was breathing. They cost me $15. I remember it well. At that time, it cost me $105 to go there. Now, listen to me. That's the way the world is. You're in pain, and people are entertained to death in their pain to think they're doing all right. We stood in line for almost 2 hours to ride a 90-second ride. Now you know that's true. Sweat pouring off of you. The kids hollering and screaming and grabbing hold of your pants. You little brat, I'll hurt you. And hollering and screaming. And you know what? You're standing there sweating. We run about 10 rides. It cost me $105 for 15 minutes of entertainment. 15 minutes, that's all we had. $105, they didn't know we was getting robbed. They said, oh, they was having fun. And the only guy stupider than me was the guy in the Scooby-Doo outfit. Now, you got to realize this. I'm sweating like a dog, and this guy's in a Scooby-Doo outfit. He ain't too bright. And the worst thing is, we're sweating like doggies. You got to pay all kinds of money. Get a hot dog, man, a hot dog, a lousy hot dog with chicken meat and all that garbage in it. And all that money it cost for that hot dog, feed them kids, and they were hungry, man. I said, suck your thumb. And we went out there, and they got to watch the fireworks, of course. Here you are. I'm telling you what. You know what I'm talking about. 5 kids, we're like this. 4 o'clock, we're like this. Fireworks don't happen to 10 because you know what? Those idiots run the time forward in spring. It's going to stay light longer. You want to get out of there. I want to go home, and I only got 90 miles or 100 and some miles to drive, and I just want to get in the car and hope to God the air conditioner's working. And you know what they did? We go to the car, and I'm dragging. Judy's dragging. And we're dragging the kids. And they're saying, this is what they say. Can we come back? I'll hurt you. In Christian love, but I will hurt you. I will give you the 5 fingers of fellowship around your throat. That's the way the world is. Entertained to death. In the entertainment, they think they're doing all right. In the entertainment with Scooby-Doo. Oh, yeah, Scooby-Doo, look at Yogi over there. I mean, I'm squinting like a dog. In the entertainment, they think they're doing all right. That's the world today. They're pitiful. They don't know they're lost. They think they're having fun. The homosexual thinks he's having fun. The homosexual's doing his homosexual lifestyle and think he's having fun. But in the end, there's AIDS waiting on him, and there's a hell waiting on him. And I don't care what you say, that's the Bible. Now, it isn't palatable for out here on the West Coast, but that's Bible. That's God's word. And I don't back up from anybody. That's just the facts of it. You don't like it? That's tough. You take it up with God on the day of judgment, because he don't like what's going on down here. Entertained in their alcohol, thinking you're doing a great thing. I remember when I became a Christian, I had friends that came over to the house and tried to bring beer in the house. I said, no, you're not bringing that in. He said, oh yeah, I am. I said, oh no, you're not. I used to break people's faces, see? No, you're not bringing it in here. Well, I'll just leave. I said, goodbye. Doing the spanky thing, see? Goodbye, we'll see you later. This is my house. You want to drink at your house, you go ahead and drink. But when you're at my house, you're not bringing that in. Then he come in and he sat down, and I did a dirty on him. I'll tell you, I did a dirty on him. We were playing a game, and I got with Judy on this, and I said to them, I said, we got to stop for about 15 minutes. And he looked at me weird. He said, what do we got to stop for? I said, well, Judy's going to play the piano. We're going to sing hymns. We weren't going to do it, but y'all seen his face. But he said, you don't have any fun anymore. And I said, you're right. I used to love to have my head over a toilet puking. That was the most fun I ever had in my entire life. Man, I wish I could go back there and do the same thing again. In entertainment, see, you're lost. The lepers were lost. They stay there, they're going to die. They go in, they're going to die. They go to the Syrians, they might die. So they thought they'd take a chance. Look what happens. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against him the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even in the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. Man, that's God. That's God. If you're a Christian today, it's because of God. What Ephesians 2, I've said something wrong to you. We're going to one other passage here. Ephesians the second chapter. I'm sorry, forgive me. Ephesians the second chapter. I want you to see this. In Ephesians 2, look what it talks about. He says, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian today, it's because of God. God intervened in my life. God intervened in your life. But for God, we'd all be lost. But for God, we'd all be in a trash can. But for God, we'd all be in the disposal. It's for God. If you go to heaven, it isn't because you did it my way. You did it God's way. When they buried Frank Sinatra, he had three things in the casket with him that he had put in. A fifth of liquor, a pack of cigarettes, and five dimes. Now, I thought about that a while. He's never going to drink any liquor again. He's not going to smoke a cigarette. He ain't got no place to spend his money. That's a life that's lost, folks. When they put me in the casket, I ain't going to be there. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't be because I did it my way. Ain't nobody going to be seen on the judgment day, I did it my way. No, you did it his way. Or there's no way you're going to make it. But for God. Now look what happened to these lepers. And lepers came in verse 8 to the uttermost part of the camp, went in one tent and did eat and drink it, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence again, and went again and hid it. Then he said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. You see, look what they said. Wait a second. Then they said one to another, we do not well. this day is a day of good time. We hold our peace if we tarry till the morning time. Some mischief will come upon us, that therefore that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, it's not right. It's not right that we're going in these tents and eating and drinking and doing all that stuff. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right that you have the grace of God and your next door neighbor don't even know you're a Christian. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right that you work with somebody every day and they don't even know about Jesus Christ. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. There's people starving in the world for Jesus Christ. And we're sitting at home telling how great we are. One thing I noticed about the church in the book of Acts, it never talked about how great it was. It always talked about how great Jesus was. But the church of today talks about how great they are. It blows my mind. Sometimes I go calling with people, and the first thing they do when they talk to people, what do they tell them about? They don't tell them about Jesus. They tell them about the church as far as the building. We've got padded pews. That'll get you. Air conditioning. Ooh. We got a band and a half. I mean, we got it all. Oh, man, we got big screen TV. Oh, one Super Bowl Sunday, we can cancel service and watch that and eat popcorn, too. We don't tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the one that'll save them, not this building. When Jesus comes back, this thing's going to be leveled. I mean, it's all right to have it. Thank God we got it. But this isn't the church. This is. We're it. You see, they had so much, they couldn't help but share it. They said, it's not right. You know why some people don't share anything? Because they got nothing to share. The Christians got nothing to share. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you've got to be here to get something to share. If you're not here on Sunday morning, you're not here on Sunday night, we don't know whether you got an inner tube around your waist or a picnic basket in your hand. You're on midweek. See, if you're not here, you can't get anything to share. Because this is a refueling station right here. This is where it is. Now listen, when you get fueled up, you don't sit at the gas pump and say, oh, your car says, oh, this feels good. Let's stay here. No, you get in that car and you go. And when you leave that fueling station, your fuel starts going down. That's why you need to refuel in the middle of the week, see? Get filled up again. You know I love new Christians. They do everything wrong, but at least they're doing something. Right? They're excited. At least they're excited about something. People have been Christians 20 years. I say, are you saved? Well, I guess I am. Well, man, I want to join that army, don't you? Or I ask him, how you doing? Well, pretty good under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under there? You know, we ought to be excited and happy about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We ought to have the best news to tell anybody. Hey, man, I've got news for you. I've got a Savior can take care of all your blues. He can handle you. Oh, man. We need people that are excited about the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything. Look what they did. Now, they said it's good news. Well, they had good news. What's this? It's good news. We got good news. We got more than we ever use. It's Good News Week. That means we got good news to share with everybody. It's good news. They said it's good tidings. We have good tidings. If we stay here and tarry, with some battle happen to you. Well, I'm telling you what, If you got the good news and you put it inside you and bottle it up and never share it with anybody, you're going to be in big, dark trouble when you meet Jesus Christ. Well, we got the truth. Well, are you living the life? Yeah, but we know the plan of salvation. Are you living the life? Are you really walking the walk? Or are you just giving lip service to God? Are you just talking or are you walking? You see, a Picasso painting may be the most beautiful thing in the world, but to a blind person, it is irrelevant. The symphony orchestra in New York City or the Philharmonic in Philadelphia may be the most beautiful music, but to a deaf person, it's irrelevant. And if you're a Christian and you're not living the life and you're not walking the walk, you're irrelevant to a world that's lost and dying. How are you going to tell somebody else how to live when you're not living the way you should live to begin with? It's not right. If we hold our peace till the morning, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. So look what they did. Verse 10. They came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians. Behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we're hungry, and therefore are they going out of the camp and hide themselves in the field. When they come out of the city, they will catch us alive and get into the city. Isn't that like a lot of people? You got the door to open up for freedom, for joy, peace, long-suffering, and man, they back off right away like you got strychnine to give them. Huh? Like you're trying to kill them. You mean I got the tithe? Oh, no, you don't have to tithe. You can go to hell. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be immersed. You don't have to follow Jesus. God gives you your free will. But understand, at the end of free will, there's called a payday. And it's like that old story of the oil. Pay me now or pay me later. I'd rather pay now than pay later, wouldn't you? So the king said, like a lot of people, and I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to kill us. Now look, boy, there's some guy in there that's got a little bit of sense. And he says unto him in verse 13, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left the city. Behold, they are as of the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of Israelites are consumed. And let us send and see. And they took therefore two chariot horses. And the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way were raiments and garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messenger returned and told the king. And the people went out. We need to tell people about everything that's out there waiting on them. All the blessings that God has for you. I'm going to tell you what, if I never become a Christian, me and Judy would be divorced right now. I was meaner than a stinking snake. I put a gun in your head and just as well look at you when I was younger. I mean, that's just the way it was. I was in fights all the time. All kinds of stuff, drinking, brawling. I cussed like a trooper. I was a staff sergeant, platoon sergeant in the Army. I could out-cuss anybody. I'd get up there when I'd get them troops up. When we get in training, I'd eat an onion before I go out there. And 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, and get in their face, man. And they couldn't win. I was nasty to them. I'd eat that onion and get in their face. Will you go out with my girlfriend? No, sergeant. She's not good enough for you. Get down, give me 50. Go to the next guy. Would you go out with my girlfriend? Yes, sergeant. You stinking bum. You rip me behind my own back. You're than him. Give me 75. They couldn't win. But God, you have to leave the city you're in. And I'm telling you what, the town you're in, if you're not in Christ, you're in Satan's territory. You've got to leave his city to get the blessings. Oh, but the blessings are great. Look what happened to them. People went out in verse 16, spoiled the tents of Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold per shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned on, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Remember what he said there in the first three verses? But the Lord said, how shall it be if it would ever be that way? He said, what? You'll see it, but you won't partake of it. Now I want you to see the last three verses. And it came to pass that the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God, said, now behold it, the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. He saw it, but he didn't partake of it. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you've never obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to see Jesus at the judgment, but you're not going to partake of heaven. You're going to see it. When we talk to you about the plan of salvation and what God really means and what it means to become a Christian, and you throw it off and you slough it off and you say, hey, oh, may it never be. You're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Wouldn't that be terrible if you see it? You don't get a partake of it. Oh, what about all the ones you know of? And I know Ralph knows a lot. I know Rick knows a lot. I know you guys know a lot. Scott knows a lot of people who obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ are not in the faith anymore. Oh, mercy sakes alive. Never let it be happen to me, Lord, please. Because you'll see it. And you'll miss it. And you won't miss it for 5 years. It'll be an eternity. The man saw it, but he didn't eat of it. And he died. Born once, die twice. Born twice, you die once. What do you want in your life? God wants you to obey him tonight. God wants you to rededicate your life. If you're playing games with God, quit playing games. God is not some guy that you can mess with. He is greater. He is the awesome, holy God in heaven. He's created all things. And this America exists because God allows it to exist. What are you going to do with your life? I know what you kids are getting in school. I know that garbage. We got it down by where we're at. Trying to pull all kinds of garbage. Now they got a club for homosexuals. Tried to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right in the Bible Belt trying to do it. They got gambling like you got out here. Ohio thinks that they're going to improve Ohio with gambling. You ain't going to improve Ohio with no gambling. Gambling's a dead-end street, folks. You can make a difference in your school, at your workplace, if you just have the guts enough to do it. And know that our God is an awesome God and he has great power, and that you can walk the walk, you can talk the talk, and you can be all that God wants you to be. Don't be like the one that sees it, but don't partake in it. Tonight we're going to give the invitation. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's Bible. Believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 3:16, believe it with all your heart. You got to have faith, people. I hate them people say, well, you don't have faith. You guys don't believe in faith. You don't believe in blood. We believe in that more than you ever did. It takes faith to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. It takes faith to repent, to change your mind, go in a different direction. It takes faith to confess it before men. It takes faith to be immersed for the forgiveness of sin and receive to get the Holy Spirit, because that's what God said. That's what Jesus said. Don't call my Jesus a liar. Just do it. Let's be standing.
Please turn to number 3.